Bibles, please, and turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 8. 2 Corinthians, chapter 8. I'd like to this morning begin a two-part series on answering the question, how can we be missions-minded? How can we be missions-minded? Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, the Bible reads, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, or to witness, to be a witness of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality or generosity." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your amazing grace. We ask and pray as we spend these next few moments in your word, I pray, O Spirit of God, that you would help us to have an understanding, that we might be missions-minded and give honour to your name in due course. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. What is missions? If we are to be a missions-minded church, if we are to be a missions-minded people, what and what is missions? Well, missions is the fulfillment of the Great Commission. The Lord Jesus, shortly before he ascended back to heaven, he said to his disciples, "I want you to go and make disciples. I want you to teach people concerning my saving grace. And then I want you to baptize them, and then I want you to instruct them in all that I have taught you." So missions, in its core sense, is the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when a person receives Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, then they are baptized. And upon their baptism, they are integrated into an assembly, a local New Testament church, where they are taught the teachings of Jesus Christ. That's what biblical missions is all about. Now, there are a lot of little supplementary extensions of that, and very varying worthy efforts in the name of missions. But if there is an absence of the preaching of the gospel and of baptizing converts and teaching them the word of God, then it is not missions according to the word of God. See? So at the heart of biblical missions is the carrying out of the great commission, which is to preach the gospel to every creature. So how can we become more missions-minded? Now, in Acts chapter 1, please, verse number 8, if you would turn there with me for a moment. The book of Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. This great commission is explained, I guess, for a better word, here in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. And it reads, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses," note that, witnesses, plural, "unto me." Now the next word is very, very important, "both." That means at the same time. You are to be a witness in Jerusalem. That's in reference to where you are right now, your home right now, your setting right now, your location, where you live, and in all Judea and Samaria, neighboring states, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So the Lord Jesus said, I have given you the presence and power of the Holy Spirit within in order that you and I might be a witness, tell others about Jesus Christ at the same time, both where we are in our Jerusalem, where we live, and also in the neighboring areas of where we live. And also, we are to be a witness unto the uttermost, the extent of the earth. So the message of Jesus Christ is for everybody. God is not partial. God is not selective. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and enjoy the forgiveness of sin. And the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, I want you to be a witness, not only where you are at, but I want you to also tell people all over the world about Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world. So the question goes begging, how do we achieve that? Because we all know full well that we can only be in one place at one time. Because we are not God. So God chooses the work of missions where you and I help and support missionaries, those that are willing to go and preach the gospel in Romania, in Japan, in Lebanon, in Vanuatu, in Scotland. So we get behind these individuals that we call missionaries and we help them, we support them in prayer and financially so they can focus upon preaching the gospel. We support their missionary work. And as we do so, we are fulfilling the Great Commission. We're not only reaching our own community, but we're involved in supporting missionaries. We pray for them, we give so they can go, and therefore we are fulfilling the Great Commission. That's what missions is all about. Now, the Apostle Paul, here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, as he writes to this church at a place called Corinth. Corinth is a city within the nation of Greece, and there's a New Testament church within this city, and the Apostle Paul is writing to this group of believers, and he's encouraging them to basically get their act together and to provide this missionary offering that they had promised that they would supply to help the church or the ministry back in Jerusalem. So the Apostle Paul is writing to this group of believers, and he's encouraging them to get involved in supporting missions and particularly supporting this ministry back in Jerusalem, because poverty was evident amongst the people and the church family needed support, they needed help, and therefore the Apostle Paul is encouraging this group of believers who said they would help, they said they would get involved, but they haven't as yet. So he's saying, now come on, I'm going to encourage you to get involved in supporting other missionary works. So I'd like for us to study 2 Corinthians chapter 8 this morning, and I'd like for us to note some very, very important principles that we must understand if we are to be missions-minded. What does it mean to be missions-minded? How can we maintain a missions-minded heart before God, and have a part in reaching this world for Jesus Christ? Because people need the gospel of Jesus Christ, do they not? The Bible teaches mankind is dead in trespasses and sin. And the Bible teaches us that Jesus said, I am the way, the only way. I am the only truth. And I am the only one to life. I am life eternal. No man comes unto the Father except via me, or by me, or through me. So Jesus Christ claims to be the only way to eternal life. That's the message of hope that we are called upon to proclaim today. Over 7 billion people in the world, and they have one thing in common. They're all sinners. We're all sinners. And we need to be saved from our sin. And Jesus Christ paid for the sins of the world in His death, burial and resurrection. And we that have experienced that forgiveness need to do our part to look beyond ourselves and look at the world, over 7 billion people, over 265 recognized nations, and understand that God loves every nation, God loves all people, no matter the colored skin, no matter the colored hair, no matter the dialect or the language they speak, for God so loved the world. But do you love the world? Because if you really love God, then you'll love what God loves. Amen. So how are we to be or maintain a missions mind? How are we to be missions minded and have a part in supporting missionaries and helping others to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, please. Look at verse number 2. The Apostle Paul, in trying to encourage the church at Corinth to be involved and to support missionaries, as they said they would, but they haven't as yet, he makes reference to a group of churches in an area called Macedonia. Now, Macedonia today, there is a country called Macedonia. But in the biblical time, the name Macedonia was in reference to all the countries that we call Europe today. Okay? That is the Macedonia of the Bible time. So the Apostle Paul is saying, listen, I want to give you an example that there are churches, the churches of Macedonia, the churches of Europe, that even though for many, in verse number 2, they are enduring a great trial of affliction. Look at verse 2. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality or their generosity. So in other words, the Apostle Paul is saying to the church at Corinth, I want you to take note of the example of the churches in Europe, in Macedonia. These churches, these groups of believers, are very poor, and for many of them, they're enduring persecution for their faith, and yet they are a very generous people. So my first point I'd like to make this morning in answering the question, how to be missions-minded, how can we maintain a missions-minded heart? My first point is this. It is not dependent upon ideal circumstances. It is not dependent upon ideal circumstances. This group of believers that the Apostle Paul was referring to was a group of Christians that were being persecuted. They were not only persecuted, they were also very, very poor, but yet the Bible teaches us at the end of verse 2 that they were very generous. They were willing to support missions. They were concerned about others. So these people, though they were poor and persecuted, it did not stop them from supporting missionaries. What excuse do you have for not being involved in supporting missions? Oh, but Pastor, you don't understand. I've got all these problems. Well, welcome to the real world. Who doesn't have problems? Who doesn't have issues? But it's been well said, the secret to joy is Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. Spells joy. And supporting missionaries is not based upon ideal circumstances. See? God wants you and I to be involved in supporting missionaries with a heart of generosity. So being missions-minded doesn't depend on you and I having ideal circumstances, where everything is just perfect and you've got no problems in your life and you've got no stresses in your life and you've got plenty of money in the bank and everything's rosy, everything's wonderful, okay, therefore I can support missionaries. No! God wants you to be involved in supporting missionaries. In fact, it might help us to keep our eyes on the main thing by getting our eyes off ourselves and thinking about, oh, there's that person over there in deepest, darkest Africa, there in Zambia or parts of Africa that needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I can do my part in helping them hear the wonderful message. So being missions-minded, my friend, does not depend upon ideal circumstances. What are your excuses for not being involved in supporting missionaries? The Lord Jesus constantly called for people to follow him. One individual said to the Lord Jesus, I'll follow you, but I need to go back and bury that family member that has recently died. And the Lord Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead, and you follow me. Now you might be thinking, that sounds awfully harsh, Pastor. Well, it really wasn't, because if you understood the fact that that man wanted to bury his father because he wanted his inheritance. He wanted to go back and get his inheritance. And when Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead, he wasn't being callous and unkind and saying, don't respect your father. He was simply saying, is you want to go and bury your father because you want your inheritance. You need to let the dead bury the dead and come and follow me. Be willing to sacrifice for my cause. That's what he was saying. See? So being missions-minded is not dependent upon you and I having ideal circumstances. The Apostle Paul said, hey, there's these group of churches there in Europe that are being persecuted, that have very little, but yet they're very generous, supporting missionaries. Look at verse number 3, please. The second principle I'd like for us to note concerning how we can be missions-minded. The third verse reads, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power. They were willing of themselves. The second point I want to make concerning how to be missions-minded, it is not dependent upon ideal circumstances. Number one. Number two, these believers were willing to stretch themselves. They were willing to stretch out by faith and support the work of God. Go to chapter 10, please, and look at verse number 15 and 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 15 and 16. Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. Now note this next little phrase, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast another man's line of things made ready to our hand. So I want you to connect the thought there in verse 15, that little phrase, faith is increased. Your faith is increased. And then verse 16, the first part of that verse, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond. So basically, if you and I are to be missions-minded, we need to be willing to be stretched spiritually by faith. We need to be willing to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? in reaching this world for Jesus Christ. What can I do? God, stretch me. I'm often saying to the Bible college students that elastic bands don't stretch. Oh, I guess they do a little. But rubber bands stretch. Elastic bands are made to stretch. Rubber bands are made to stretch. And God has ordained that you and I stretch. And that involves faith. See? So these group of believers, the Apostle Paul was saying, hey, those churches there in Europe, those churches there in Macedonia, were willing to be stretched spiritually for God's glory. Are you willing to be stretched? Are you willing to be stretched for God's glory? Now, I'm not referring to doing anything that God doesn't want you to do, but simply being willing to do what God wants you to do in reaching this world for Jesus Christ. These believers that were being persecuted and were very poor physically, they were very generous. They were willing to be stretched. Do you realize it's a proven scientific fact that the most generous people in the world are not rich people? Now that's very sad, isn't it? The most generous people in the world, now I wish it would, you know, I hope if you are a wealthy person here this morning, not putting you on the spot because I don't know who you are, but I hope that you're the exception to the rule. But the rule is very simply, those that have more give very little compared to what they have. But those that have little give a whole lot compared to what they really have. Proven fact. But like I said, I hope you and I are an exception to that. So these people were encouraged to stretch spiritually. But also look at verse number 4, please, of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering or the serving to the saints. Now what does that mean? It simply means this. The Apostle Paul was encouraging the church at Corinth to get involved in supporting missionary work by choosing to be focused upon others. To choose to be focused upon others. The believers there of Macedonia were focused upon helping others. They were not selfish. They were concerned about helping others. Look at Philippians chapter 2, please. Philippians chapter 2, the third verse. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, humility of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. To be others minded. And the Apostle Paul said to this church at Corinth, I want you to consider the example of those churches of Macedonia, that even though they are being persecuted, even though they are very poor, those people are very generous and they're willing to stretch themselves because they're thinking about others, others, others. We are such a self-focused people, are we not? We are selfish in a natural sense and it's not spiritual. So we need to die to self. And to think about others, to think about Jesus Christ, and to think about all of these billions of people without Jesus Christ that need a Savior, that need to hear that message at least once. To be others focused. That'll help you and I to be missions minded. Others. 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 No, it's not about you, it's about others. For those of you that have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, hey, we are simply beggars that have received bread, the bread of everlasting life. May God give us a heart to say, I've received that bread. I've received that life. I've received that forgiveness. I've received that peace. I've received that joy. I've received that security. I've received the goodness of God. I'm going to help somebody else hear about that message. That's missions. Instead of keeping it to yourself. The average Christian just keeps it to themselves. That's a no-no. That's a no-no. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, please. Are you still with me? Look at verse number 5, another principle that is so important if we are to be a missions-minded people. Look at verse number 5. And this they did. Now he's referring to this group of believers there, the different churches there of Macedonia once again. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. So verse number 5 talks about sacrifice. These Christians there in Macedonia, modern day Europe, were a people that were willing to sacrifice. My friend, this morning, God wants us to sacrifice. Sacrifice. One wonders whether the average Christian can even spell the word. Let alone, one wonders whether the average Christian knows what it means in the 21st century. And if we are to be missions-minded, we've got to be willing to sacrifice. And Paul said, hey, these churches of Macedonia, they've been persecuted, they're very poor, but they're extremely generous. They're concerned about others because they're willing to sacrifice. It's quite natural at different stages of life to have a greater quota of selfishness. You know, newborns are selfish. They're delightful things, but they're selfish to the core. The whole world revolves around them. And then the next major stage is the teenage years. And then salvation comes, and they eventually grow up and, you know, and marry, and they have their own children. They've got to think about somebody else. So that's a point of deliverance. And then you get a little bit older, you get real mature age, and all of a sudden we get very, very selfish again. So you see within the lifespan of the average person as a baby, selfishness, hardcore selfishness, teenage years, then the elderly years. But generally speaking, we are a selfish people. And may God cause us to think about others. To love others. For God so loved the world. Do you love the world? Are you concerned about that person there in Myanmar that's yet to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you concerned about them? Are you willing to sacrifice so that they will have a messenger? Sacrifice. King David in his lifetime was offered a portion of land, and King David wanted to offer a offering to God. And this particular gentleman said, look, you can use a portion of my land. In fact, I'll provide for you the wood, and I'll provide for you the animals to sacrifice. But David simply said, he said, look, I'm not going to give God that which costs me nothing. I'll pay for it. And the man said, no, don't pay. You're the king. You're my king. I'm not going to take anything from you. And then David said, you don't understand. This is for God. And I'm going to pay for it. I'm going to sacrifice. If we're to be missions-minded, we need to be willing to sacrifice. Now, you'll know what that means in your terms. I mean, as far as your context, your life. But the point is, are you and I willing to sacrifice? Look at verse 8 and 9, please. We'll move along. The end of verse number 8 it reads, to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Lesson number 6, how can we become, principle number 5, how can we become a missions-minded people, is that our motivation needs to be our love for Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul is trying to encourage this group of believers there at Corinth, hey, prove that you love the Lord Jesus. He that was willing to leave the riches of heaven and to reach you, you and I that are poor spiritually, he that was rich was willing to leave the riches of heaven to come into a poor, sinful world and to die in our place that we might be rich spiritually. That's our God. And if we really love the Lord Jesus, then we will love what he loves. He loves the eternal souls of people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And as we give to missions, we do so because we love the Lord Jesus and we love what God loves, eternal souls. Love should be our motivation. If we really love Christ, then we want to be involved in supporting missionaries. Look at verses 10 and 11. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do so, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. And what that means in a nutshell is, be committed. This is what you said you would do, do it. And when it comes to supporting missionaries, church family, we need to be committed to our missionaries. If we say we're going to help them, then we need to help them. We need to be consistent. Honour your love for Jesus Christ by being committed. And the Apostle Paul is saying to this group of believers there in Corinth, you say that you're willing to help. You've said that you're willing to help. Well, come on. Where's your commitment? You've done nothing about it. So that's why I'm going to send Titus to you. And he's going to collect your offering, so you won't have any excuses. He'll be there shortly, so get your act together, said the Apostle Paul, to this church at Corinth, and do your collection, and put together that missions offering, so we can help those believers there in Jerusalem. Be committed. Be committed. And last but not least, in verses 13 to 15, the Bible teaches us that God is no man's debtor. If we honour him by giving to missions, God will provide our needs. Look at verse number 14 for the sake of time. But by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want or their need, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want or your need, that there may be equality. So what that's teaching in a nutshell is this. If we look after missionaries, God will look after us. There in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 19, most of us would probably know that verse off by heart. Now, we don't have time to go there today, but it tells us that God will supply all our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's verse 19. But Listen to me carefully. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Read verses 15, 16, 17, and 18 that come before verse 19. Because verses 15, 16, 17, and 18 is referring to a missionary offering, supporting missionaries. And God is telling us, you support missionaries, I will look after you. Oh, but Pastor, you don't understand. I cannot afford to support missionaries. Oh, my friend, you cannot afford not to support missionaries. And may I say to you, you are struggling financially because you don't love what God loves. And you don't have the faith to stretch for the glory of God. My Bible teaches me God is a just God. God is an equal God. Equality. If we help to provide the needs of the missionaries so he can preach the gospel in the regions beyond, then God is big enough. God is big enough to look after you. And some of you are struggling financially because you don't give an iota to missions. That's the cold hard facts. Now we don't give to get. We give because we love the Lord Jesus. And he tells us, if you will honour me, if you will help to help others to hear the gospel of grace, if you'll support missionaries so that that person there in Afghanistan might hear the gospel, and that person in Kuwait might hear the gospel, and that person on that little lonely island might hear the gospel, and that person there in Indonesia might hear the gospel. God tells us, if we get involved and support missionaries, God is saying, don't worry my son, don't worry my child, I'll look after you. That's how God works. And I can happily and joyfully say, if you are struggling financially, it's probably because you're robbing God. Got some thieves here this morning. You don't tithe. And beyond the tithe, you won't give God your offering. You won't help support missionaries. You're wondering why the money doesn't last. I've just told you why. I challenge you, be obedient to God's word. And you just see how much God can look after his people. See, when we love what God loves, God will take care of us. So let me encourage you this morning to be missions minded, to think beyond your little world, and to think about others that need the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to do your part in preaching the gospel to others. Or how can I possibly go to Indonesia to preach the gospel? I can't, because I'm here. But there's a pastor over there, Pastor Antoro, what a wonderful man of God, that goes from place to place preaching the gospel. In Indonesia, you're not allowed to even have a sign advertising a church. You can't legally proselyte, as they say. But this man obeys God, not man. And he gathers people together, and he preaches the gospel to them. And he sees people saved and New Testament churches started. And I'm so thankful that I can have a part in that. So can you through the missions program of this church. May God help us to be missions minded. May God help us to just enlarge our hearts. And listen to me. God will look after you. He will look after you. God will provide your needs if you take care of what is dear to the heart of God, the eternal souls of men. Let's bow for prayer. Let's be upstanding, please.